And yesterday was International Day of Women and Girls in Science. And we were trying to reach one of our experts to talk about this. But it's a significant day that aims at highlighting issues of gender equality, moving beyond the stereotyping of girls and women as not being suited for the fields of science and technology, especially maths-related subjects. And essentially, we've seen girls do brilliantly well in these fields when they're given the opportunity. And so we thought we should have this discussion, creating awareness around these issues, talk about ways of empowering our girls and women to move beyond these kind of preconceived ideas of who should be a scientist and whether it's possible or not for them to be able to make it. Let's get a bit more detail on this from Natalie Rabson. She's career counselor at Boston City Campus and joins us on the line now. Natalie, good afternoon to you and thanks very much for your time. I mean, we've come from this background where scientists were considered men, right? And there were particular types of men even that were required to fill this description. But it was rare to see a woman in a lab coat until fairly recently. It's good to see that it's slowly changing, isn't it?
Yes, it is good to see. It is slow, but it is changing. And I think we have to give kudos to South Africa because we are changing a little bit quicker than some of the other countries. So we're doing well, but progress is slow and there is still a lot of work to be done. So I think a day like this to highlight the opportunities and to highlight the gaps is excellent.
How important is it that we speed up this process, Natalie, and how do we go about that?
I think I'm not sure how much we can speed it up because it is a slow process and we do need to start from the very early years. Research has shown, some research that has been conducted has shown actually that it starts in the earliest prom up to where, kids, depend which toys, kids are given different toys. Boys and girls are given different toys, piques different interests, and it piques different confidences. So we really need to start basically in play school. So we need to start educating teachers and parents and role models to start from there and not to start distinguishing, especially in terms of computer science, math, and that kind of thing. So obviously then that's going to take time. So we need to kind of start from there, but at the same time address it all the way up. To give an example, we have started actually an education trust that is giving bursaries only to females, and there was a bit of an uproar, but it's specifically for females in IT. So we can address it from now, starting from preschool right up to university.
So this is a very important intervention, Natalie, because on the one hand, you've spoken about that process as parents in which we should engage, ensuring that our children are not exposed to these gendered stereotypes. But on the other hand, when they get to the school system, there's also quite there's a fair chance that stereotyping will begin at that stage. How important is it for us to make sure that our girls are fully engaged with all the subjects they are offered and are able to make the right choice for themselves at school level?
I think it's vital. I think that they have to be, it also has to come from the teachers because they do have certain stereotypes themselves. And they have to be able to answer questions equally to all the kids, and the kids have to feel that they have the confidence to ask a question. And to give you from personal experience, we had a maths teacher where if the boys asked a question, it was answered. If the girls asked a question, they were told to go and bake bread. So it might sound humorous, but actually it's damaging. Then we really have to give girls confidence by giving them the same opportunities and the same interest. So we do need to address it, as we said, from preschool and in the schools. And there's also a tendency of schools who are very concerned about their pass rates to convince kids to drop, say, from maths to maths lit,
right,
or maybe
right.
to tell girls that science isn't really suitable for them. And I've got quotes from girls. I'll give an example. One says, I went for an art course in secondary school because I had a phobia for maths. Or I did not go for science subjects because I lacked career guidance. My friend convinced me to enter art as it is easier.
Yes.
So we need to move away from conversations like that and say, until you give it a try, you don't know. You have to try. And we need this, in terms of also how careers are changing. We need this knowledge, not specifically for a profession, but to be able to be broad-minded and to be global players. We can't compete on a global level if our girls don't have the maths and science.
Do you think that there still exists a sort of tendency to guide girls away from mathematics or STEM subjects during school counselling, particularly when girls are choosing their subjects for matric?
There is, and it comes from both parties. It comes from the guidance counsellors, if they have guidance counsellors, or the teachers, and it comes from the girls themselves as well, and it comes from their parents. You know, you could have their parents saying to them, you don't need it. If you're not doing medicine, you don't need the science, forget about it. They're closing so many opportunities to them, and it's damaging to their confidence. So I think we have to be very careful in dumbing down what we think they're capable of. And maybe sometimes it's a little bit of ourselves. We think we want our kids to do better than we did, and therefore we want their paths to be easier. And it's not necessarily always the best option for them.
Right. How are universities, or how is higher education doing in terms of embracing this compared to the schooling system?
I think that they are doing better, but there is a way that they could address it maybe a bit better, because you have to meet certain entry requirements when you're going into university. Mm. If you don't have the entry requirements, then you're out. You know, you can go back to matric, which is too difficult because you can't pick up a science subject if you haven't done it for the whole 3 years. So I do believe that we need bridging courses at the universities, and it's similar to the concept that they have in America, where they have the undergrad. So any degree or any profession you're going to do, you have to first do an undergrad, and it's a holistic undergrad. And that gives people all kinds of broad-minded knowledge, and it also gives you exposure to things you haven't seen before and different methods of teaching. So I do believe that our universities should try and step in and have some kind of, maybe not a bridging year, but an upskilling year to give exposure and skills and knowledge in these subjects. You know, we have to remember also in these STEM subjects and careers, there's different levels. It doesn't mean that because you're not doing science, that's it, medicine's not an option.
Right.
There's so many careers available in the health sciences fields. And if that's where you're passionate about, they need to find a career path for you in that field. And it can be done. And we need better career guidance both in the schools and at the universities.
I want to ask you about One Step Beyond universities, and it's simply because, I mean, as you may or may not know, one of my producers, Kinerwe, is a scientist. And going out into the field is quite a different experience as a black female scientist. She's often discredited by people she's working with. Her opinion is not sought. Her opinion is sometimes overridden. And there's no expectation that the one black woman in the group is the woman who's actually leading the project. And it's a deeply disturbing thing, but it's something thing that she's learning to have to live with as she studies and as she works in the field. How are the industries that are absorbing or are supposed to absorb these young women, particularly young black women, how are they changing and evolving in order to be able to accommodate them and welcome them rather than providing a kind of hostile environment for them when they arrive?
So they, I think, as you said, it's something she has to live with. They're not evolving quick enough. Unfortunately, and I don't want to stereotype myself, but I do think that the men feel very threatened, actually.
Yes.
So at the same time as discrediting, they are feeling threatened by their positions, because it opens up so many more possibilities for the different careers and the different responsibilities that are within a company. So before, if you might have had one professional or one expert in an area, now actually there are 10, and you need to hear the opinions of all 10. So it actually, if they would be open to it, it is enriching for everybody around. But I think there we're a little bit backwards, and it's very, very difficult. I do believe that instead of, she has to prove herself, as will everybody else and all other women, but not in an attacking or an aggressive way. It has to be in a get on board with me kind of way. And once they've shown themselves and their expertise, it will shine through and it will be accepted. But I do think it takes time, and I do think it has to be done in a strategic way. And you have to take the emotion out of it, because it can become very emotional and you can become really disappointed and angry.
Natalie, lots to think about there, certainly in how we tackle this issue. Natalie Rabson is a career counsellor at Boston City.